Roth Radio, David Lee Roth here. We've had some of the best guests ever. We had Shaun White, Olympic gold medalist for snowboarding. We have Alexi Lalas coming up on the telephone. And halfway in between, we have the fella from downstairs outside the front door who's freezing his butt off, who lives out of that shopping cart. Here you go. I told you we would play his tune. Hit it up, Hutch. Nothing but the winners. But it's a good message.
It's not enough.
I agree.
Ain't never gonna be enough.
I couldn't agree more.
It's not enough.
I concur.
Ain't never gonna be enough.
And no jury is gonna convince me different. Thank you for the song, brother. I don't know his name, but he's got the shopping cart outside. God bless him. And you'll never guess.
Roth Radio.
That's
a
who.
Primera hora. Televisión Dave. Solamente. Yeah.
Dave TV. Nothing but yeah, baby. I've got Alexi Lalas on the phone here. He's the president, general manager of the New York, New Jersey Metro Stars, the Major League Soccer team. He became one of the most famous soccer players in the U.S. after his play in the 1994 World Cup. You know him from his red hair. Hey, what's going on here? Shaun White had the same thing going. I mean, I don't know. I wonder if this is genetic or if this is a prophecy in his personality. He also competed for the U.S. in the 92 and the 96 Summer Olympics. Alexi, it's David Lee. How are you today?
David, good morning.
Welcome. Did you wake up or stay up for this?
I'm not going to tell you, man.
Where did you call? Where are you calling from, Alexi?
I'm calling from beautiful Secaucus, New Jersey.
What are you doing there? Is that where you make your home currently?
I am in the office working hard for all the Metro Stars fans we have out there to try to give them the entertaining and successful team they deserve.
Absolutely. Your first name sounds Russian. All four of my grandparents are Russian. What's the connect there?
It's actually Greek.
Okay.
I grew up going back and forth between Detroit and Athens, Greece.
And is this how you picked up the game of soccer, or do you call it proper football, or what do we call it?
I call it soccer. I'm a product of the youth soccer system. I grew up, you know, doing the mom and dad coaching and orange peels at halftime, juice boxes, all the different stuff that you see around suburbia nowadays.
Amazing. And how old were you when you first started kicking the ball?
I was old for what they do now. I was probably eight, nine years old or something like that. They start early. As soon as you can walk nowadays, they throw you out there on the soccer field.
And your parents started you off on this, or did you see it on TV set, or how did you take a hankering to this?
My dad was a professor. My mom was a writer. So there was not a whole lot of sports going on in the house. And I came home one day with a pamphlet, said, hey, there's soccer tryouts, and away we went.
And what about the youth leagues that I see now? I see a lot more kids playing soccer than I do playing baseball. I see a lot more places, you know, and whether it's in the small neighborhoods or the big public communities, I see it in the expensive suburbs and, you know, even in the ghetto, so to speak.
It's amazing. It's amazing what we've done just in the past 10 years on and off the field with the sport, not just in this area, but across the country. We got so much incredible resources and opportunity for kids to play, and you know, I'm a product of all of that, and it's a wonderful, wonderful game. As you know, you've been around the world. One of the reasons why soccer is so popular around the world is that it's cheap.
Oh, well, we routinely would play like the crew from the Top Bill Band while the Top Bill Band is taking way too long to do a sound check.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout Europe, when I was opening up for Ozzy way back when, we did 22 cities in 32 days in England. And every single city that we did, we would play in the back alley where you load the equipment into the back of the hall. Everybody always carries a soccer ball with them. And if it's not a soccer ball, it's some cheap little rubber thing or whatever. But you see this everywhere. What's happening in the U.S.? Is it catching on?
It is, man. I mean, I've been working hard on the field for many, many years, and now off the field as a GM for this game. It's something I love and I believe in. But, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a family. It's something that we work on every single year, and what we're doing on and off the field is incredible. You know, when you were starting out, in the backyards out in Pasadena at the keg parties, it was about working and building your fan base, and that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing, and, you know, I'm real excited about this summer with the World Cup coming up, because we're sending the best U.S. team you could possibly imagine. I'm excited for Major League Soccer, and in particular for the Metro Stars, because I believe we're giving the people in the New York area a team that they can be proud of and one that's going to win.
How about the Metro Stars? Where do you find all of your talent here, Alexi? Where do they come from?
Most of it, it's U.S. We have a couple of players from around the world, whether it's guys from France. We have a player called Yuri Djurkaev, who's an incredible athlete and a world champion. We got Amado Guevara, who's a guy from from Honduras. I mean, that's the great part about soccer, and particularly Metro Stars soccer, is that it's all these different people coming together. I mean, I grew up playing a game where every different type of language was spoken in the locker room. I traveled the world. I was able to see the world in a completely different way, learn new languages, see different cultures, and that's something that I love about the international aspect of this game.
How many countries have you actually been to, Alexi?
Man, I have no idea. I mean, there's not a lot that I haven't been to be quite honest with you. And I've played all of those places, but more importantly, I've also been able to do things off the field, because your game is 90 minutes and you're able to experience that culture and meet new people. Because, you know, sometimes we get so insulated in our own country, which is a wonderful country, but you also fail to grasp that there's a whole world out there.
Well, also, you know, you see political content, like when the Iraqi soccer team was floated for the first time for the Olympics, and the entire country, both sides, put down their guns for the length of the game. Are you familiar with the details of that?
Well, it's amazing what soccer does. I mean, there's, like this summer, there's going to be a World Cup. There's not going to be any business done. There's not going to be any politics done around the world. You can't call a head of state in the middle of a game that's going on, because the whole world, that entire country, stops because of this incredible game. And the fact that we are joining the ranks of the elite right now in terms of international soccer is because of what we've done for, let's say, the past 10 years on and off the field. A lot of hard work on the field, a lot of hard work off the field, and we're starting to see the fruits of those labors.
When you're talking about work off of the field, and I'm talking to Alexi Lalas, he's the president, general manager of the New York, New Jersey Metro Stars, the world Major League Soccer team. When you're talking about doing work off the field, Alexi, where are you advertising? Where are you targeting? Where do we see the announcements in this kind of a thing? What neighborhoods are you going to?
Well, you know, I've been given a crash course in terms of the business of soccer, because I was on the field for many, many years, and now off the field. And listen, the realities are pretty quickly explained to you. We have a limited amount of resources. We're a sport and a team that's growing. We're in the biggest market in the world. It's very difficult for us to compete from a marketing standpoint against, you know, people like the Yankees. So what it ends up being is a lot of grassroots stuff, a lot of guerrilla stuff. We get out there, whether it's appearing out at fields, whether it's ambush kind of stuff. We get out there and we get that name any way we possibly can to expose people to the Metro Stars brand, to get them out to Giant Stadium whenever they can come out, because I believe if they come out once, they're going to come out again and again and again. Because if the only experience you have is that 10-year-old running around on the weekend, then you have a warped experience of what professional soccer can be when it's played at the highest level.
That's an excellent point there. I think in terms of, well, I know for a fact that I've had a number of arguments and disagreements on the air here throughout my broadcasting career, which frankly is almost 8 weeks long. And I maintain that soccer is a vastly superior game for teaching kids how world politics actually function, whether it's give peace a chance or all-out war, in that it's a constantly shifting game of strategies and pretenses. It happens in 9 different places on the world. Gridiron football, which is what I was raised with and which I dearly love, is a little bit closer to the way we used to fight in the Civil War. 2 different lines of guys line up and march towards each other. I love the concept. But in terms of preparing a kid for how to strategize his way through corporate world or educational or the social world, I maintain that soccer is vastly superior because it is a constantly shifting game of strategy. Agree or disagree?
No, I agree. And listen, we don't apologize ever for the fact that soccer takes a type of intellect and an intelligence when you're viewing it. It's not the money shot. It doesn't happen automatically. It's just not spoon-fed to you. We're not dumbing down the game. And the fact is, there's a lot of games out there that are like that. Soccer takes patience. You have to see the nuances. When you're looking at the game of soccer, you have to appreciate it. And it doesn't happen overnight. But I also say that when people go out and they experience a game live and they see how physical it can be, and the passion that exists on the field and off the field and the stands, that they can get sucked in. And I think that there's definitely room for soccer in the sporting landscape of the United States. And the fact is that our country is changing very, very much. And soccer is a game that we've talked about is growing. But in popularity, I truly believe that at one point we're going to win the World Cup, and that's going to be in my lifetime. And at one point, soccer is going to be the major sport in the United States.
I'm talking to Alexi Lalas. How long do you think it would be before it is the major sport in the United States? Because, and let me speak to this here, we're a collection of diversity. This, you know, the old melting pot line that we heard in homeroom back in high school is that the best part of America comes from somewhere else. The best part of New York, okay, you got 30% of natives who are from here, love it, great, and all the rest of us are from somewhere else. Do you think that that's what's going to contribute to the fascination in the United States, or is it just that cool of a sport? It doesn't matter who's playing.
Well, you know, every single day we get more and more people coming to our country and people coming with a soccer background, a soccer culture. It doesn't mean that we don't have people like myself who are born and bred in suburbia that have soccer in their background. But the fact is that, you know, when you're talking about it from a business standpoint, we have two major markets. We have the ethnic markets and we have the youth soccer market. And both of them we go after with equal zeal. And hopefully we are able to connect with them. But we also have to give them something when we're talking about someone who's coming over, let's say from Mexico, something to compare them to. And it's important because the perspective is important because they're comparing it to what they've watched growing up over there in terms of the environment and ultimately in terms of what they see on the field. And that's something we have to compete against and constantly giving them a quality product.
And in terms of your audience for the sport here, what percentage would you say is Spanish-speaking?
Oh, boy. It depends. It can range from 30 to 50%. I mean, I played in L.A. for many, many years, and I played out here. I've played in different places, and it's different in different markets. Certainly, when you're talking about L.A., it's a little different than when you're talking about a team in Kansas City or something like that. But here in the New York market, we obviously have the Hispanic market. We have so many different ethnic groups, whether it's your Italians or your Portuguese, your Brazilians, people from all over the place. And we like to think that ultimately, if you're a soccer fan, it doesn't matter where that person is that you're watching playing came from. If you appreciate the game and you appreciate good soccer, that's what we're going to give you at the Metro.
Well, you also have personalities like Beckham and his wife, and
yep.
You got superstars now and rock stars, let's call them that. I don't
Without
know.
Without a doubt, that's exactly what they are.
And when does the soccer season actually kick off, Alexi?
We start April 8th at Giant Stadium, and people can certainly come out there. We had an exciting year of soccer on the field and hopefully a winning year.
Now, in football, the knee is the first thing to go, and then it's the lower back. What happens to you in soccer?
I was, you know, personally, I was really lucky. I didn't have a lot of injuries. I had a couple of different things with the knee, but the fact is that, you know, they got to a point where they were younger and faster, and I sure as hell wasn't. So I said, all right, thank you very much for your time, and bow out gracefully.
And how much of all the new sports technology are you guys invested in with sports visualization and all the chiropractors and virtually?
Yeah, we got all that, psychocybernetics, all that different stuff, visualization. I mean, everything that that all the athletes, including Sean, who you talked to earlier today, are going through, it's important to be able to visualize yourself having success and being positive. And you know, I believe that that's the case whether you're on the field or off the field. You have to be positive. You have to be in a positive environment and a nurturing environment, especially with today's athletes that we come out with, and give them the opportunity to have success. And whether it's the actual physical part of it or the mental part of the game, they're both equally important. You have to be healthy both ways.
Alexi Lalas, General Manager, President of the New York, New Jersey Metro Stars. Any message for the young kids listening to this?
Well, first off, I would say if you like soccer, keep playing it. But I would also encourage you to do every different sport and every different thing in your life because you never know what you're going to be good at. And I would like to say all the Metro Stars fans out there, we start up April 8th, and you can call 1-888-4-METRO-TIX for your tickets today. And we look forward to having everybody, including you, David, out to a Metro Stars game very soon.
Thank you so much. Alexi Lalas from the Metro Stars. Have yourself a great day, Alexi.
Later on, Dave.
866-313-3733. Give me a call. Let me know what you think about what Alexi was talking about. Here. Do you think that we're going to see it in our lifetimes? Well, I'm not going to ask Hutch. You're from the United Kingdom. You're a little swayed to this already.
Well,
no?
Swayed, yeah. But, I mean, soccer has been, for a couple of decades, the most popular game in the world when it comes to the people that actually watch it and go to the games. And, yeah, I think it's... you know what I miss about soccer?
The violence in the stands, Hutch.
You've got it, my friend. 3 or 4 pints before and after the game, and a good piece of pipe in your hand. Yes.
I've been on football excursions when you've got to travel between the islands in the UK. You know, you get on the ferry, the giant boat with the cars and everything, and all of the supporters, they're called the fans. Look at Hutch laughing.
Oh, you know, I've been on these boats.
Oh, yeah. And they'll leave at 7 in the morning to go to Ireland or from Ireland to Scotland or whatever. And they start drinking beer in there until the floor is literally 4.5 inches awash in all the beer like that. And it smells like Guinness throughout the entire boat. And everybody's chain smoking and playing ukuleles and singing really great off-color football songs, you know, that target each other, anti-ethnic, anti-football, racist. It's violent, noisy, and you know what? Half of them are asleep before the boat even gets into the berth.
I miss home sometimes.
No, really. They'd start drinking at 7 in the morning by 10 o'clock when we finally pull into the other port. Virtually half of the boat is asleep and in a wash in the beer or whatever. We don't have that here. We don't have that in the stands happening here. That's out of control. Yeah. No, those kinds of violent confrontations only happen between me and my production staff. 866-313-3733, davidleeroth.com. Oh, soccer. Did you ever play soccer, Animal?
Did I ever play soccer? Well, you know, I messed around with it as a kid, but, you know, it wasn't catching in me. It wasn't enough hitting for me.
There's no contact in it
no,
for you, right?
Not no contact. I was a contact sport type guy, you know?
Well, how fast can you run the 100? Have you ever even...
I used to run a 4.8 40, and I was over 300 pounds. It's very exciting to see me get down, baby.
And, well, wait, I have no doubt that you can go that fast in a straight line, but how far? That's 100 yards, right? Does it take you another 100 to slow down? Well, really, those big airplanes, man, you know, they can take off in 500 meters, but it takes them 1,500 to land, man.
Well, I'll tell you something I saw at a track meet one time. This guy, he ran the 100-yard dash. He had a little fake G.I. Joe parachute on his back. And when he crossed the finish line, he pulled it. And then they disqualified the guy, man. They said it was some kind of distraction or something. I thought it was really cool, man.
Where did you see this?
This was at Andy High School, man, down in Andalusia, Alabama.
Andalusia High. Yeah. We salute you. Hold on. I'm going to pull my ripcord. Here we go.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
Clev Dave Ayokosa. Koko de wa atashita chi ga ame wo uraseru no. Roth Radio. First thing in the morning. Dave TV. Nothing but yeah.
Rick Rubin producing the new Metallica album. David Lee Roth here reading from the Showbiz News. Metallica has drafted Rick Rubin to produce its next studio album. Good work, fellas. Smooth moves, X-Lax. Work on which is underway at the band's California headquarters, wherever that may be. That sounds like San Francisco. In a post on its official website, the band confirms Rick has been coming by the studio every now and again. That sounds like Rick. To listen to some of our new stuff and throw his 2 or 3 cents in. Good for them. Rick Rubin proposed to do the Van Halen reunion, and Eddie wouldn't take his call. Good to see that Rick, who's done everything from Johnny Cash to Metallica. I picked this up because of our friend Sean White that we were talking to earlier. I think he said that was one of his first concerts that he went to. Anyways, that's the Metallica thing. I wonder when that's going to come out. I have no idea. That's going to take them at least a year. Do they have to go through therapy for that? Did I say the wrong thing, Animal?
Therapy has a lot to do with everything in this game and days.
Have you seen the Metallica Therapy movie? Are you aware of its existence?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay, but have you ever been through therapy? Who would dare try to therapize you, Dr. Malfi?
No, I've never been through therapy. I kind of like I said, when I was on drugs, I chose lifting weights. Every time I thought about getting high, that was about the only therapy that I really ever had.
Okay, because I wonder if these guys have to go through group therapy every single time they make an album, Brian. What?
I don't know. Isn't working for you kind of therapy for us? I think so. This feels like therapy. We're getting up at 4 a.m.
No, I'm going to need therapy at the end of this here. Don't forget, at 9 o'clock, porn star Jenna Hayes. She's more than a porn star. This kid's a star. She's got the voice. She's got the personality. You saw her on Pornucopia on HBO, you know, After Dark or whatever that was. And you've seen her on the covers of all of Animal's favorite magazines. She doesn't have any junk in the trunk, but I think this one may apply. I may have to share it with Sasha that I have had my heart stolen. I don't know. I've never talked to Jenna. But this is the other Jenna. There is, first, there's Jenna Jameson, who we talked about with her her clothing line that is coming up. Boy, when it comes to getting dressed up, that's what I think of, a naked girl, right? But I'm convinced that one of these girls is going to outdistance the rest. We've made a list of the ones who got the chance to become the spokesmodel, to become the face of legit biz or whatnot. And we're going to be talking to Jenna Hayes in about a half an hour or so. So stay tuned on this here. Who's your favorite porn star currently, Animal? We'll call her up and we'll put her on the air here. What do you think?
My favorite porno star is Cherokee.
Cherokee? I don't know who Cherokee is. Is she in the Winter Olympics?
She should be with that big booty she got.
Well, you see, there's very few of those in the Winter Olympics, and maybe this could be our first...
I don't know. Those speed skater girls, they got some booty back there. That's why I watch the girl speed skaters, man. They got... When they put them tight suits on, hey, man, they got some junk in their trunks, man.
This is Animal's house. I just work here. All right, I got an idea. I like to breeze through these album reviews here. Down where we get our coffee from, we bought the Sly and the Family Stone. It's not a retrospective. Is this a tribute album? Is that what it qualifies as? There's a number of these. It's called Everybody Doing a Sly and the Family Stone Tune. At least a reasonable facsimile. I've heard a song or two off of this. And as you all know, from when my sister was on here as well, that we're big fans of Sly and the Family Stone, okay? And in honor of all the African Americans who weren't in the Winter Olympics, maybe this'll represent. Something tells me, though, that we're going to have to kill and eat this record long before lunch. Okay, here we go. First track, this is Dance to the Music, and this is by Will.i.am. And we're going to do an album review here. This is called Different Strokes, Different Folks, Sly and the Family Stone, a tribute record. Go ahead, Hutch. Here we go. This is Sly, but not as good. Stop. Okay, this is two homeboys in an attic with two fingers working on a Pro Tools and a G3 rig, okay? The drums sound completely familiar to me, and the best parts of the song are from 40 years ago, right? All the hooks are exactly as Sly would have done it. Although Sly wouldn't remember the words today, if he could, he would probably sound something like that. Do you agree or disagree? Turn it up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I see your point.
If I got to hear one more person say, put your hands up in the air, wave them around like you just don't care, I'm going to rob you. Come on, man. Now watch the chorus. It's Sly. Same. Okay, I give them a flunking grade. That was Will.i.am. Number two, Everyday People. I've heard this one. Let's see if this resolves into anything. It's one thing to just pick up a riff and just do the riff, but to make the song develop into something different, you got to take the music past where you found it. If you do a cover version, then you should do it the way the artist would have done it if they did it better. Here we go. I like the groove. Good groove. I like it. This is Maroon 5.
Sometimes I'm right, but I can be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song.
Good version.
The butcher, the banker, the drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in.
Chorus, please. Nice development. Listen to the guitar. This one wins the grade. I give it an A+. Maroon 5. Whoever would have thought? Number 3, Star. This is by The Roots. Here we go. We played with the Roots, actually. We did a gig with them. Remember? Great band. Great drummer. Great haircut. That haircut needs its own area code. Oh, really? It's its own self-contained ecosystem. That's very important for a drummer. Here we go. He's running the mic through his hair. This is called art, Hutch.
Yeah.
This is the side shaved with Rise. What a great idea. Just play the record. Boring. Just somebody playing the drum machine along with the real record, right?
Get them up high. Okay, yeah. Go all star and get down for y'all. To the ladies in the house, proud of y'all. You got the Roots cool with the sound, of course.
Betty Davis in the mood. Ladies with an attitude. Vogue. Vogue. Next one, please. Thank you. That was The Roots, and it won't be again. Number four, Running Away by Big Boy. Here we go. I'm sorry. No. I'm not sorry. You know what? You can't just play the record and just do the music exactly like it is and add a little 808 on the bass drum and go doom, doom. That doesn't qualify as a remake or a revision or whatever. What, Brian?
Well, it's one thing when a band just copies it exact, but this is even just playing the record and then putting a couple extra riffs on it. It's everyone's doing the same thing. They're just playing the record.
There's no riff. They're just adding a little drum machine to it, and it's just a guy with two index fingers going doom. Right? Actually, I sound pretty good doing that. I'm just saying, like, I show you how to turn the track off. Turn off all the music here. Animal, sing Happy Birthday if you would, and keep a groove.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Brian. Happy birthday to you.
Okay.
My style. Happy birthday to you. Here we go, everybody. Happy birthday to you. Happy New Year. Baby, come around and hey, we're going to have a birthday. Everybody, give me present. I don't want present. I want money. Give me money, everybody.
They're much better, right?
Yeah.
I give you the prize. Okay, put it up.
All
here.
Right.
That's what they're doing. Do you see? But Animal's much more efficient at that, okay? It's Animal's world. It's Animal's house. We're listening to Different Strokes. This is Different Strokes by different folks. The Sly and the Family Stone tribute gig. We've bought it downstairs at the coffee shop here. Go ahead and move to the, actually, you know what? Try number 12. And let's see. This is I Want to Take You Higher. And this is Steve Tyler from the Aerosmith gang. And this was the job that got done to them. These guys were totally ready to play this song on the Grammys. And it was Sly. From, you know, Sly and the Family Stone. I think it was him. Nobody can tell. He looked like the guy from the Spasmatics, you know, with the mohawk and whatever. And he showed up, completely forgot the words, completely forgot his placement, and the band sort of fell in on itself, you know, like an old building. The middle fell out of it first. All right. Let's see what it's like without the Grand Master in attendance. This is Tyler. I like it.
No, Sly, wait a minute. Do it the way you used to do it.
Oh, come on. Stop. Let's not do it the way we used to do it. The most you're going to get down the field is 80% of the way. If what you do is attempt to just imitate the other guy and somehow do it louder or somehow make your face more screwed up the way Brian Young does when he plays his guitar, you got to see the face. And it's like if you make more of a face, somehow the music will be even better. I thought, okay, I'm not in love with the beginning here, but it's original. At least it's unique. Now, take it again from the top. Go ahead one more time. This is Steve Tyler with I Want to Take You Higher. Here we go. They start off with a novel idea, and then they launch it right into the hay. Drive right off the road. Here we go. Okay, stop, stop. That's what it sounds like when we don't tell Brian what the key of the next loop is. An animal is laughing too loud, and I was in the back room smoking a cigarette in the office back there, and I showed up 30 seconds too late for the thing, and we have no idea what we're going to talk about. So we talk about Paris Hilton, and the phones light up, and we lose our way completely. I give this version an A+. Yeah.
In the mornings.
Cloudy on the TV. Oh, it's beautiful, Mike. It really is.
Your attention, please. David Lee Roth, first thing in the morning. We only do this because we love you.
Roth Radio, David Lee Roth here. We're reviewing the Different Strokes for Different Folks gig. It's the Sly and the Family Stone tribute disc, and we got this from the coffee shop. This is being advertised everywhere. I'm seeing great big posters for this everywhere, and there's a lot of famous names on it. Most of it sucks, but we got A+. I can't get anything past you, Hutch. Look at the face. Look at the face. Look at. Turn up the music. Come on.
Sorry, bud.
Okay, not that much music. But we gave an A+ to Maroon 5 for their Everyday People. And because of the car crash that we drove past and we were relieved that nobody was killed, we gave an A+ to Steven Tyler and his job that he did, what we'll call it, a medical procedure that he performed on I Want to Take You Higher here. Now we're going to go on to another track. Let's do familiar stuff, okay? If You Want Me to Stay, this is Devin Lima. It's number 7, Hutch. If You Want Me to Stay. And this is the one where Hutch had such a blow problem that his nose plugged up. He never actually got out of bed, Hugh Hefner style. And they recorded Family Affair and these kinds of albums and stuff. And there's, if you want me to stay, I'll be around. It's a family affair.
I didn't know you knew me back in those
family
days.
Family affair. No, really, that's where this sound comes from. That's, I had a good weekend. That's, I can't stop this. Anyway, it is Family Affair, and it's David Lee Roth, and we're listening to Sly Stone. I think I forgot the words. And is this the right song? Are you Steven Tyler? Is this the Grammy? Anyway, this is called If You Want Me to Stay by Devin Lee and the Sly and the Family Stone, Different Stroke. You know, give me a line, man. Come on. Here we go. Same rigmarole. It's the exact same tune. They don't change anything. It's just with a little drum effect on it.
If you want me to stay, I'll be around to about. To be available for you to see. I'm about to go.
Nothing up on the show. Sharon!
You'll never be in
doubt. Loop, please. I liked it better when Sly had the drug addiction. This is an imitation of a drug addiction. I like it when artists burn their candle at both ends. I like it better when they take a Junior Miss flamethrower to it and get 15 times the light and 1/3 the time. I'm not getting any light from that. That was Devin Lima, and If You Want Me to Stay. All right. How about Family Affair, Joss Stone? She tries to sound black, at least. Would that qualify for the Winter Olympics? I don't mean to dovetail and become metaphysically abstract before happy hour, but... sorry?
What number would that be, Dave?
I have no idea.
You have the cover.
Okay, I'll be the navigator. Here we go. Family Affair, Joss Stone, number 5. Go ahead, Hutch. Bang on this like it owes you money. Here we go. Track. Pretty good.
It's a family affair. It's a family affair.
Oh, yeah.
It's a family affair. It's a family affair.
You got 1 second, girl. Stop. She made it through half of a verse, half of one sentence before they had to resort right back to the original track, right? Go ahead, Brian. What are you thinking?
I was wondering, is it part of the rules of making this record that they all used part of the real tracks or something? Did one guy produce the whole thing or something? I don't know
that one guy produced everything. I don't think so. I don't think that's technically possible. It's because all of these artists come from different places.
But
right?
All those tribute kind of records I've heard, this is the first one that everybody sampled the original record on every single song. It's weird.
So you're questioning, is this
part of the concept of this record?
Ah, I wonder if anybody attached to this record. Give us a call, 866-313-3733. If in fact that's the option, okay, I get it.
And they're sly blasting.
They're sly blasting, and they all flunk. No, there's 19 different ways to skin the cat, okay? And this is right religiously connected to what it was originally. You might as well buy the original. Some of the voices are okay, but what little Josh, she's doing her best Aretha Franklin imitation, all right? But some of that's not even in tune. Play it again from the top there one time. I think it's track 5, Hutch. Take a listen. She's not even really in tune up there. From the top. That's Joss on steroids. Thank you, sweetheart. Do we have your number? Okay, Animal, do you have her number? We'll call you, sweetheart. Thank you. This is Animal's house. I just work here. I just roll the tape. Hutch just drives. I thought she'd do better than that. It started off, and then you get the guy coming back in. Just sounds exactly like Sly. I give it a flunking grade. All right, let's pick one more, okay? One more. If you want to stay, what is it? I can't think of one that everybody's going to know here. Sing a simple song. Isaac Hayes. Isaac, classic voice, okay? There's a little Scientology mixed in with the gumbo. I'm a little hesitant, but I'm going to suspend judgment. Here we go. Isaac Hayes.
Okay.
Go ahead, Russ.
Okay, we'll do the whole thing again.
That's the best part of the song.
Yeah, I'll tell you, forget about it. Yo, that was cooking, though, man. That was good. Don't worry about it. Let's do it again. I know what you're talking about.
Isaac Hayes, here we go.
1, 2.
It's number 11, right?
2, 3.
There's the record.
Rhyme, hot funk in the summertime. Here we go, beyond the cornrows, yo. This time now you know. Not so like detergent, get bit. Long as the song plays the rip. Faster than the speed of government with the notion. Approaching to your emotion. Let's get this thing in motion. Equal for the people, sing a simple song. Come on.
Well, it's a testimonial to the power of the original material. What do you think, Animal, when you hear this? What do you think of it?
Well, I thought that was Chuck D.
And I was listening for Flavor to come up next. And that's what it sounded like to me.
It may have well been. It says Isaac Hayes here, and it sounds like exactly like the record. The record comes in, and you hear the funk, the hip-hop attachment to it. But again, that's just the riff with a couple of drum beats in the background.
That was Isaac Hayes doing that from the beginning?
It says Isaac Hayes here as the name on the thing.
It doesn't sound like him at all.
It doesn't sound like Shaft.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe he was the band leader. He routinely puts these guys as the band producer, or whatever you call that, that he'll bring the musicians together and he'll construct the track, although it doesn't sound like there's much track construction here. People just playing the same thing. Keep it, turn it back up here. Let me hear.
I like that. Come on.
Turn it up, Hutch. Okay, perfect for my Lord Toyota, and one for the bedroom. Here's one to go. Don't forget, in a few minutes here, we're going to have porn star Jenna Hayes. I wonder if Jenna's going to make a record. I'm gonna force her to make a record here because she's got a great voice. Wait till you hear her on the phone here. And perhaps we can get her on one of these records. We'll get her in with Maroon 5. Try the track one more time here. We do want to take you higher. You're listening to David Lee Roth, D-Row in the house, Roth Radio. Stay where you are. I'm going away.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.